welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And today, I have a very special guest who shares some similar background with me. She lives in a small town in West Virginia where my dad was born, and when I saw the title of her book, Spaghetti and Meatballs, Growing Up Italian, well, as a full Italian myself, I just knew that we had to talk. She is Diana Walker. Diana was born in Clarksburg, West Virginia, and is the daughter of the late Louis and Anna Alessio Pischner. She attended Notre Dame High School and graduated with the class of 1977. She attended Fairmont State College and is employed by the Marion County Board of Education at Eastdale Elementary School. She resides in Fairmont, West Virginia with her husband, Mark, and they are the parents of three children, Kurt, Courtney, and Chris, and his wife, Ashley. And they have two grandsons, Ashton Lewis and Austin Maddox. And Diana, as a first-time author, shared her nonfiction book titled I Don't Want to Sit in the Front Row Anymore, written as a memoir after the loss of both of her parents, Anna and Louis Pischner, within 7 months of each other. She has been a presenter at the Authors Forum during the West Virginia Italian Heritage Festival and participated in numerous book signings and events throughout West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Diana has written her first children's book, released in August 2015, entitled Spaghetti and Meatballs, Growing Up Italian. It is a children's book about her childhood, and the book is illustrated by Ashley Teets and published by Headline Books. This book has received the Reader's Choice Award honorable mention for the Best Children's Nonfiction, as well as the Hollywood Book Festival Award honorable mention, Mom's Choice Award, London Book Festival Award, Southern California Book Festival Award, and most recently, a 2016 Preferred Choice Award by the Creative Child Magazine. It has been juried and accepted at Tamarack in Beckley, West Virginia, and the Italian American Press. Headline Book just released Diana's second book, Hopping to America, A Rabbit's Tale of Immigration, last month, also illustrated by Ashley Teets. It is the story of immigration from Italy to the United States by a family of rabbits. Both books have recently been accepted to IAM Books, the first Italian-American bookstore in the United States. And I am so anxious to learn more, so let's get started. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. As I said before we went on, I feel like we're almost family, with family coming from the same area. Now, were you born in Italy?
I was not. My grandparents were on both sides of my family, my mom's parents and my father's parents.
Same with mine. What regions?
Calabria.
Mine too.
And Giovanni, St. John's.
Wow, that is crazy. My dad's family is from Calabria. And
I think if you're an Italian and you live in Fairmont, West Virginia, you have some roots to San Giovanni. It's just a given.
Isn't that something? Wow. So, see, we have a lot of background in common. Well, now, speaking of your family and your parents, your nonfiction book, I Don't Want to Sit in the Front Row Anymore, is your parents' memoir. Share a bit about what it was like to write that book.
Well, it was not intended to be a book. I started writing as a personal journal. I kept a journal daily just to kind of get through the days between and after both losses. And I shared it with a few friends and coworkers, and they seemed to think that I should share it with the world. I was prepared to just type it up and keep it for my family and my children. But I did self-publish that book, and it did very well, and it seems to be helping others as well as good therapy for myself.
So many times writing is very cathartic for the author. I know that firsthand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now, why did you title it, I Don't Want to Sit in the Front Row Anymore?
You and several others asked that same question. It refers to sitting in the front row of a funeral home, the viewing, the church, the funeral mass. My parents and my aunts and uncles and grandparents were always the ones in that front row when we lost a member of the family. And now our family has dwindled so much, and without my parents, it was my brother and sister and I in that front row.
Oh, I get that now. I've been in that situation too. So then you decided to write some children's stories. What made you decide to tell the stories about your personal life or growing up Italian as a children's book?
Well, I actually got a phone call from a lady that's very involved in the West Virginia Writers who encouraged me to do this. I had no idea that I could write a children's book. I just kind of took myself back to my childhood days. I guess you could say we've we, I don't know about you, but reached a nostalgic era, maybe, a nostalgic age.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to share with young people of Italian-American descent what it was like in my day, and also what it was like for my parents, my grandparents, even my great-grandpas in the story.
Mm-hmm.
They had so many hardships that we just take for granted today, and I think it's good for the young and also the young at heart to remember where they came from and appreciate their blessings. We truly are a melting pot. I'd love to share my book not only with children, but adults as well, just to bring back some heartfelt memories, you know, of their Italian childhood or any childhood, any nationality. I guess what I was trying to get across, what it all comes down to, is family.
Absolutely. I agree. And so your book is for all ages, Spaghetti and Meatballs Growing Up Italian. And I read...
And it includes recipes, which were not easy to get from my relatives.
Oh, we're going to talk about some of those. You'll have to share some of those with us. But I found it online where it explains this exactly. It says that your book takes the reader on an exciting journey of what it was like to grow up in the hills of north central West Virginia from roots in southern Italy. So maybe let's talk about some of the traditions that you highlight within the book. What was it like to grow up in the hills of north central West Virginia?
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Memories are wonderful. Some of the ones that stand out the most in my mind are our Sunday dinners after the church. We'd go to my grandparents' house for that spaghetti and meatballs dinner. And I'm even showing you with my hands as we speak. spaghetti and meatballs and the hot bread. And we came together, sat down as a family every Sunday, church, and then to grandma's. Holidays were very special. We had the tradition of the fish on Christmas Eve. And birthdays were very special, as I mentioned in the book. Most children that I went to school with, they had cake and ice cream for their birthdays. We had pasta, meatballs, and every dish that my family showed up with. It was wonderful.
See, as you're saying that, all of it is very familiar to me as well. We used to go to church every Sunday and then all my and get together with all my cousins. And birthdays were all cousins. I mean, everybody came over. And as you say, it was a giant pasta fest. And we just kind of took that for granted. It was just part of what our life was. And so we didn't think it was anything like unusual or different. But if you compare
it to... And I don't know about you, but I would give anything to go back for a couple of those dinners.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, yes.
It really is. And holidays were very special as well.
Right, especially Christmas. Mm-hmm. Our Christmas mostly centered around Christmas Eve. We, after the fish dinner, of course, we all ventured to midnight mass, and everyone smelled like fish and wine at mass. It was great.
That's true. I mean, and everybody was drinking wine. Even young children were allowed to have a little bit of wine.
It was tradition, yes.
It was tradition, yeah. And the cookies and the desserts. I mean, it was just so special.
The pizza piattas and the ricis and you name it, and we had it. And my grandmother mostly, and my aunts, it took days of preparation for that one meal.
Absolutely, absolutely days. And the meal was usually a long meal. It wasn't like it is today where people are sitting there with their cell phones and nobody's talking and they're done in 30 seconds. You know, it was a long affair.
I've gone into several schools to share my book with young children. And when I tried to explain to them that there were no electronics and there wasn't a TV remote, it just blew their minds. They did not understand how we survived.
Wow, and we did survive, and we thrived. Not a problem. Now, your next book, Hopping to America, A Rabbit's Tale of Immigration, and I love the words, a rabbit's tale. before you give us a snapshot of that book, why, again, did you choose to use a rabbit instead of a person or another animal?
Well, that also kind of fell into my lap, and I was going through some of my parents' things and some of their old Christmas card lists, and my mother actually years ago wanted to be a children's author but never pursued it, and she had jotted a few stories down, and we lost them, and I came across some notes about a little rabbit named Joby, and I took that as a sign that was the next book that I was supposed to write, and I wrote it for my mom to honor her with it.
Oh, I love that story. That makes it extra special, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah, yeah. So give us a little synopsis of the book, Hopping to America.
Well, Hopping to America, they are a little family of rabbits. Their last name is Riopoli, which is a slang term for a rabbit or a wild hare. They come from Italy to Ellis Island, and that gives some points about what it was like to be on the boat, on the ship for that many days. And I did a little research for this one and found out about how they were all checked, you know, physically. And some of the people, and in my case the rabbits, had to go back to Italy. They could not get off the boat. And they got to Ellis Island, and they see the Statue of Liberty, and they have family here. And this family member takes them to none other than Clarksburg, West Virginia. And I talk about how the Italian children mix in with the American children and share their experiences. And, for instance, one was playing baseball, one was playing bocce ball. They taught each other how to play. Mm-hmm. And not to give the story away, but the end of the story is, I think, the whole point of the story. It does talk about family. It has a very good ending.
So it's a tale of social issues. And how people assimilate with other cultures.
Is going to be a series, and I'd like to take these little rabbits on their next venture soon.
Oh, good. So it's going to be a series?
Yes.
Oh, good. So give us a little spoiler alert, maybe. What's your thought?
I'll just mention that it has something to do with a holiday.
Okay, we're going to have to wait, right?
Right.
Oh, that's fun. All right. Well, so now tell us about your cover art, because the covers are fun.
I have a wonderful illustrator named Ashley Peets. And a quick story about how I found my illustrator. The very first book that I had written, I took the manuscript to a publisher, and we kept kind of missing each other. We just couldn't connect. And a year later, when I wrote the Spaghetti Meatballs book, I started looking for an illustrator, and I found her after I talked to several and saw many, many different pictures and paintings and portfolios, and we were just perfect for each other. We clicked right away, and she would draw the paintings, and I'd go in and approve or disapprove. There weren't too many that I disapproved of, and she asked me if she could show this book, this manuscript, to her mom, and I assumed she wanted to show her her work. Well, long story short, come to find out that her mom was a publisher that I kept messing the year before with the first book.
Mm.
So I felt this was meant to be, and we met, and again, we hit it off very well, and she asked to publish my book, and we went from there. It was great.
Oh, I love that story, too. It just all came together as it should.
As it should. Mm-hmm. I believe in signs, and I think that was another one of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, definitely.
All right. She's very talented, and the Spaghetti and Meatballs book, I took her family pictures to draw from.
Okay.
And there's a collage of family pictures in the front and in the back of the Spaghetti and Meatballs book that she drew from.
Excellent. So you also won many awards. So share the excitement of winning these awards.
Well, the very first award... Again, I was very inexperienced when this children's book was being published, and my family and I were at the beach, and my publisher called, and she said, "You won an award." And I said, "For what?" And she said, "Hollywood Book Festival." And she said, "If you want to go to the award ceremony," she said, "you can go out to Hollywood." And I don't know if you caught on that I called my grandparents Nani and Bapu.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I said, "You mean these people in Hollywood, California, want me to come and talk about my Nani and my Bapu?" She said, "Yes, in so many words, they do." But we were already on vacation at the beach, so I did not get to attend that one. But when the Reader's Favorite came along and I won that one, it was in Miami, Florida, and my husband and I made a long weekend of it and went there, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Just like being on the red carpet somewhere, wonderful.
Wow. Who would have thought just expressing yourself would take you to these places and win the awards?
And at this award ceremony, I was fortunate enough to meet Landau Eugene Murphy, who won America's...
Mm-hmm.
What is it? America's Talented? America's Most Talent? And became friends there. He, too, has published a book through Headline Books. You just never know where these trips are going to take you and who you're going to meet.
Absolutely. Once you put yourself out there, it's all available for you.
Right.
So now, as you were writing both of these children's books, how did you know when they were completed? Because it seems like there's so much more you could keep putting into it. How did you know that, okay, I'm done?
Well, for one thing, you have a, not a word limit, but a page limit. 32 pages is a children's book, typically. And I had to stay within that amount of pages. And I wanted to make sure to get the illustrations on there as well, so I had to curb some of my stories and things I wanted to put in it. Like in Hopping to America, I wanted to include the bocce ball rules and, you know, some more educational things, but there's just not enough room. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd just save that for the next one.
Okay. But now
there is a glossary in the back of the Hopping to America book, and it explains all of the words that I refer to in Italian and their meaning.
Well, that's important. I'm glad you were able to get that in, huh?
Yes.
But in the Spaghetti and Meatballs book, you did find room to put some recipes, you said?
Yes, and there's a stuffed shell recipe, there's my Uncle John's meatballs, my Aunt Sarah's galette cookies, and we couldn't find a place to put the Easter bread. I said, we have to have the Easter bread. So there was a picture of Easter bread in the book, and we put it on the bread. I said, it has to be in there. So we got it in.
Do you make the Easter cookies with the hard-boiled egg in the center and then the cross over it?
Yes. Personally, we don't use the egg in the middle. My grandmother used to.
Mm-hmm.
But we do make Easter bread faithfully every spring.
Yep, so do we. And with the little non-perial colored sprinkles on them?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I made 10 dozen pizzelles yesterday for a wedding. So in between writing and working, there's all those extra Italian duties you have to do.
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. And do you talk with your hands?
I have been since we started the conversation.
Yep, you mentioned that before. This is so funny. I do a lot of speaking events, and when they ask me to hold a handheld mic, I tell them, I kind of jokingly say, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't use this because I'm Italian and I can't talk with one hand.
Exactly.
It actually is a problem.
Oh, yes, it is, and I'm telling you, my hands have been flying since we started talking.
Oh my gosh, I wonder where that comes from.
I think just seeing it when you're younger, you know, that's how everybody talks. Mm-hmm. That's your expression, you know, it's part of expressing yourself, I think.
I know sometimes after a conversation with someone, I feel like, oh my gosh, I think I was flailing. They probably thought I was you know, spazzing out or something, but it's the way we talk, folks. Oh my gosh. Well, now, as you look back on your writing process, would you have done anything differently?
I think everything happened in the order that it was supposed to. There's one typo in my first book that drives me crazy, but other than that, no.
Mm-hmm. Good. I have a typo as well, and it's a glaring one to me. I mean, I don't think any people see it. And every time I look at the book, I'm like, oh, no, that's just,
you know,
it stands out.
I just want to white out everyone that buys that extra letter.
Send them an apology letter, you know.
Right.
So now you said that you speak to school groups in Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Ohio. Tell us about that.
I just started that recently, and it's been rather difficult to get away from my own job to be able to do this. But there are a lot of after hours and weekends and summer programs that I make up a little flyer and give it to them beforehand in case they would like to have the copy of the book. And then I go in and start, and I read to them, and we actually get in these discussions. And even from preschool to eighth graders, they take a little different perspective on it. Like with the Hopping to America, the preschoolers and the kindergartners are excited about the bunnies. Mm-hmm. The 7th and 8th graders that I read to last, they want to know more about immigration and about their family. They start telling me about their families and where they came from and their traditions, and they share those with me, and it's wonderful.
Oh, what a way to start a conversation, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the response has been tremendous.
I've been blessed so far.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So now, how do you go about promoting your books? Any advice for our listening authors?
Well, as I said, I'm a rookie at this and still learning, but I know social media is probably the number one way to promote anything. I have a different Facebook page for each book, and I put things on it, you know, regularly. signings I'm going to be at, where I'm going to be at, and who, what new local places carrying my books. And also, I have a website. It's DianaPishnerWalker.com. I know Pishner doesn't sound Italian, but at one point, it was Piscinetti. That's my maiden name. And it's on several blogs. It's a multicultural site. It's on a place called Magic Blocks, B-L-O-X, where they let you read a little bit of the book before you decide if you want it or not. Mm-hmm. And eventually it's just got on a lot of different sites that help promote. And I've got a lot of response back from them because my emails are connected, and a lot of good response. It just makes you feel good and makes you think you did the right thing.
Well, absolutely. We always say that writing is such a solitary craft. I mean, you're sitting there by yourself, pouring your thoughts and your heart and your soul onto paper, and you don't know what the response is going to be. So between your awards and your speaking events, I'm sure it's extremely rewarding to you to feel that.
It has been. And not only for me, but for my family as well. They're reaping the benefits as well. I have two little grandsons, and they talk about, you know, my grandma did this, and my grandma wrote a new book, and you know, wanting me to come to their school to reach their school friends. And so it's kind of a family effort.
Well, it is, and you are a mentor, and they can see that no matter what age or what background, I mean, you can put something out there and share it with the world.
So far, so good.
Yay. Well, now, we said, what's next for you? So you're coming up with a sequel to Hopping to America.
And also, Hopping to America, and this is not real public yet, but I'm going to go ahead and share it with you, is becoming a play. A theater has taken it over, and they're working on turning it into a play locally at first, and then getting it into some of the high schools, because some of our high schools in a nearby county are now starting to have Italian as a class.
Oh, I love this. So now, will you expand on the book a little bit, or is it going to be exactly as from the book?
Not exactly expand on the book, but expand on the play. The first one will be like a narrator and some children performing. But when it gets to the high schools, there will be an actual script. Okay. And I am invited to be in on the casting and the rehearsals and the costumes, and I cannot wait.
Wow, how exciting for you. This is so cool.
My brother has a band. They call them Amici's. It's an Italian band, and they are mentioned in the Hopping to America book. And my sister has a dance group called Allegro, which are Italian dancers, and they are mentioned a little bit in the Hopping to America book. So a lot of family actually went into those bunnies as well as the actual story in the storyline.
So it really is a family affair, as it should be.
It is.
I love this. Wow. And then you said you had your books in Tamarack, and that's quite a lovely, lovely facility.
It is, and they have to be juried before they're there, and it was accepted. And next month I have a signing there, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Wow.
I'm also going to be signing in Washington, D.C. With Headline Books over the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, how exciting for you. I'm thrilled.
Yes.
Thrilled. I wish I was passing through Tamarack. I'd love to stop and see that. They have some beautiful art there, and I'm glad, you know, everything in there is juried, so it's got to be quality.
I was also juried to be on the Italian-American Press. That was not just, okay, I'll take your book. You had to be juried for that one as well, and they accepted it there.
Good, good. So much going on for you, and I'm happy. Now, is there anything that you'd like to talk about?
Just if you have ideas, and so many people come up to me and say, oh, I should write a book too. I should write a book about this or that, and the only thing I say to them is do it. Mm-hmm. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So just try. You know, put it on paper, see how it looks, and show it to someone. You never know.
It's so true. Got to take that first step. And I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you were able to get this out there, because now look what you're doing.
Oh, so am I.
Now, I know you mentioned your website. So is that where we can learn more about you and purchase your books?
Yes. It's also on Amazon.com. You can just type in the name of the book or my name, and it comes up. And Spaghetti and Meatballs, when it first came out in August, it was number one on the new releases for multicultural children's books as soon as it came out.
You're on fire, aren't you?
It just goes on and on. I don't understand why, but I'm very thankful.
We are thankful as well. Give us your website address one more time.
DianaPishnerWalker.com.
All right. Folks, you've got to get to her website. Got to get Spaghetti and Meatballs, Hopping to America, A Rabbit's Tale of Immigration. I feel like I met an old paisan, right?
Exactly.
This has been such a treat today just to meet you and have this opportunity to talk with you.
Same here. I totally enjoyed this.